You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You're tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. New York-born, New Orleans-based singer-songwriter Louise Cappy is our guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. She is the daughter of the late great New York jazz guitarist Al Cappy. Her powerful, explosive, humorous, and soul-stirring performances have placed her in what some people call a genre of her own. Her new single, Hope, is due out this fall. Louise, hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me today. You are in Louisiana. Do I have that right?
Yeah, New Orleans.
New Orleans. Cool.
Yeah.
How's the weather down there?
Oh, don't even ask.
Don't ask.
It's hot as heck.
Yeah.
Hot as hell.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's hot in Virginia, so I'm sure you're hot in Louisiana.
Hey, the whole country was really hot.
Well, that's another topic. We could talk forever about how hot it is and how much water we need and all that kind of stuff, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to talk about you and your music. You are a jazz singer. Are you an instrumentalist as well?
Well, not real. I play piano. I can find my way around. And so I use it for when I'm writing songs.
Yeah. Okay.
But in terms of accompanying myself, no. I leave that to my band, who have master's degrees in guitar and bass. So, no, as far as being able to get around a keyboard, the right, that's about it.
Yeah, okay. So, tell me a little bit about your singing start. How did that become a thing for you that you wanted to pursue?
Well, you know, I guess it's kind of like in my DNA. My dad was a very well-known jazz guitarist in New York. That's where I grew up.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. And so from the time I was born, I was listening. I developed a really good ear. And then even as a little girl, he would play. Have his guitar. I was 4 years old, and we'd play around with songs. You know, Mary Had a Little Lamb, stuff like that. Well, when I got into high school, I started to get very serious about singing. He would take me on club dates and let me just observe, and then eventually bring me up with the band to sing, you know, a couple of tunes here and there. And, this is what I always wanted to do, and this is the only thing I'm really good at.
Was there a time that you can recall when you sort of knew this is where you were headed? Did you pursue this in high school, post-high school, as a hobby side venture? When did it click?
Well, right out of high school, actually, when the earth was cooling. when I was in high school, my teacher, my choral teacher, was a really great piano player.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, when you graduate, let's start working together.
Hmm.
So
cool.
That was my first professional, without my dad, kind of thing that we did. And so we would do club dates and things like that. And so that was my first time. And
yeah.
Then that's when I realized, this is it. This is what I want.
Yeah.
But of course, then, you know, I got married. I had kids. And it, to me, it just wasn't right to be running around to nightclubs at night when I, you know, had babies at home. So I kind of put things on hold for a while.
Was all of this while you were in New York?
No, we actually had moved to Florida.
Oh, okay.
Which, nothing much was happening anyway down there with music, you know. So and then when we moved to New Orleans, it's been over 20 years now. I guess it was 98. And the kids were bigger. And I said, this is the place. Now I'm going to dig in.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's where it all started. It hasn't stopped.
Did you go there with music as a plan, or did music develop once you arrived?
Well, it's kind of weird. I wanted to come here, and then my husband looked into the job that he was working at, had a branch here in New Orleans.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so we were able to, you know, because when I first got here, it took me a while to make connections, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that kind of thing. So we needed somebody bringing in an income. So it all kind of worked that way. It just felt like the whole direction of my life was bringing me here. So
Of course, jazz is known for its, or New Orleans is known for its, a particular style of blues and jazz.
Right.
Is there a community, like when you got there, did you sort of know where you were headed? Is there a community where you can, you know, if you're in Nashville, you go downtown and you start making connections and you figure out where everybody's at and start to find your way around that way. Does it kind of work the same with that style of music in the New Orleans area also?
Yeah. You have a lot of trad jazz.
Uh-huh.
And then you have some contemporary modern jazz. Some of the cats here are, you know, they do that. The tourists love the trad original.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, they like that New Orleans trad music, which I did. What I did was nobody knew who the hell I was, so I just went to clubs at night and sat in.
Okay.
Get a drink, sit there, and when there's a break, ask, you know, whoever the band leader was. One of them was Delphio Marsalis, you know, one of the Marsalis kids.
Sure, yeah.
Wise, not kids. And he had an orchestra, the Uptown Jazz Orchestra. And I would go there and ask him if I could sit in. And, you know, he'd let me come up and do a tune or two. And I did that in a lot of the other clubs and handed cards out. And
yeah.
Finally was able to start getting my own gig.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier writing music, so I presume that you have originals that you perform as well as covering tunes?
Yeah. So, you know, I did jazz for a long time. I grew up with it. And a few years ago, I want to say maybe five, maybe more, I decided I love doing covers. And, I mean, I've done covers of R&B as well.
Mm-hmm.
My last album, Melange, there was a lot of R&B and blues. There were four originals on the album. And I enjoy covering and, you know, making them my own. But I had a lot of things I wanted to say, especially during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, just put pen to paper and got it all out. So, yeah, the entire album, Hope, is original.
Yeah. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the interview.
Of course, every flavor of music has its own feel to it as a finished product. At its core, when you're writing a song, do you hear melody? You know, if you're writing a pop song, if you're writing a root song or a bluegrass song or a jazz song, right. the end product sounds completely different. Lyrically, of course, it's just your feelings.
Right.
You know, at its core. So when you're putting these, your original material together, do you hear melodies as well, or are you in the beginning just expressing feelings?
You know, it depends. Sometimes it's a melody that I have in my head, and then according to what it feels like, is it a blues feel, is it a jazz feel, you know, I'll start writing some lyrics to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the lyrics first, and then I find it's the lyrics, and then, well, this would be a great blues. Let's put a blues format behind it, or a jazz format, or whatever it feels like. I do come from a jazz background very much, you know, heavily, but the album is adult contemporary with jazz and blues fusion in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
And the blues side of it for you comes from where?
You know, New Orleans.
Okay.
But I also love, like, I love to listen to, what's her name? Etta James.
Oh, sure,
and
yeah.
Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's just so many great blues people. And then I love Ella Fitzgerald and, you know, that whole side of things too. So I have Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
I started listening to Billie Holiday when I was 13.
Wow.
My brother gave me an album. He's a musician as well.
Yeah.
Was a musician. He passed away. And he gave me this album and he said, listen to this. And, you know, 13, I was listening to, you know, Billie Holiday, and my friends were listening to, you know, whatever pop was going on at the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, it's interesting as I talk to different people. Of course, our magazine is Americana, which is a huge umbrella. But when you start digging into the core, it is, a lot of it links back to blues and the early African American music, which pushes back into the immigrants and the music they brought with them, and then mingling all of this together, and then it springs forward into all of these new expressions that we have. And so it's interesting to hear the connection, how different musicians, regardless of what you sing today, the thread of how it goes back and really all kind of connects to a central source of original material where everything was birthed from in the first place.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm a product of what I was exposed to.
Sure.
So my music is, I like to say contemporary, adult contemporary, of course, with the jazz, but there's jazz, there's blues, there's rock in my music.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's, that's, you know, what's in me. I don't want to be just classified as a jazz singer, because I don't want to be limited to that. I want to be able to reach even a larger audience.
Yeah.
Because my music really, although I do like to write music, kind of like I'm a fan of Mose Allison,
mm-hmm.
and I love his funny lyrics,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and it's sophisticated music, but it's hilarious. And so I do have a few songs like that on the album, but I do want to write music with depth. And that's important to me, because I want to inspire people to think.
Sure. Yeah.
Think about ideas.
Yeah.
And spark imagination in a positive direction.
Yeah.
because I think that's lacking a lot
yeah.
in today's music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like that. So the new album is called Hope, and I think you also have a single by that name as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the one that's out now?
Yes.
And the album is not out yet, though, right?
No, the album comes out September 10th.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, too. A lot of great fun stuff on there, and heavy stuff, and funny stuff, and it's really, we had a great time doing it, my band and I.
And all of these are original?
All original,
yeah. Okay.
Now, the only song, it's an original, it's Beautiful Dreams. I wrote the lyrics, and my band wrote the music to that song,
okay.
Beautiful Dreams. But the rest I did, and we had a great time working on them and laying them down. And I have a fabulous producer, and he just happens to be my son-in-law. And he's
cool.
a real staple down here in New Orleans. He's a great piano player, and he toured with some great people like the George French, Leroy Jones,
yeah.
And the world with them. And he's, I worked with him, and that's how my daughter met him.
Okay.
He's come to some of our gigs. And
okay, cool.
Now he's a family member.
Yeah. So are you guys out in Louisiana, New Orleans, musically? Are you back out and playing?
Yeah. Yeah,
good.
Although this week, we took a little step back.
Yeah.
I mean, clubs are still open, but, everybody's back to masks. You know how that's been going.
Right,
but,
But,
yeah, we're out. We're doing gigs. And it's been fun, yeah.
What do you...
I'm sorry.
And I was going to ask you what the plans are with this music and the album on the way and how you hope to be able to share it. Yeah, obviously in the club scene, is touring something that you do? Tell me about how sharing it with the audience will work for you.
Well, we are working on a tour. The album's coming out, like I said, September. I already have a really good base of fans up in New York.
Oh, good.
So we've already booked a club. It's a theater. Matter of fact, the owner of the theater, it's the Triad Theater. It's off Broadway. The owner, I have played quite a bit. He has other clubs. He has a club in Harlem called Gin's Biz, and I played there a few times, and we've become really great friends.
Hmm.
So he called me recently, and he said, look, you want to do a show at my theater? Because he had opened it right before COVID, and then... so he's back open, and he said, come do your show, promote your new album.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful theater. It's called The Triad. If anybody in New York wants to come, it's in October.
Awesome. Okay,
October 10th.
Good. October 10th.
And we're off October 10th.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to fill in some other gigs in the New York area, like Connecticut and New Jersey. So if anybody out there has a club and you want a great band around October, let me know. So we're working on that.
So how far out do you plan? What's in the future after this record? Are you continuously writing? Are you collecting more material for a new project in advance?
You know what I am? I haven't had a lot of time recently to write. And then, of course, we were working on the album. We worked on that album for a year, over a year. And I've been writing notes of phrases or things that I hear that I would like to write about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can go back to that and work on it. But right now... it's a little bit of a whirlwind. Mike Stover is fabulous, and he's been keeping me hopping.
Yeah, with MTS,
Yeah, he's great, and so every day, I'm just moving along. Plus, we're doing gigs, and so it's been busy.
Good, good. So if folks want to reach out and listen to the new singles and get ready for the album coming out or check out your schedule, what's the best way to get in touch and follow what you're up to?
Well, you can go to my, website, which is LouiseCapdeMusic.com.
Okay.
And they can also find me, it'll be on Facebook, my Facebook page, Louise Cappy Music, Instagram. I'm on all those fancy, you can go to Spotify, iTunes to download it.
Okay.
Please download it. And
and
it's doing really well. It's doing really well all
good.
Over the world.
And that is Cappy with an I.
Yes, C-A-P-P-I.
Yeah, cool. Good. Well, thank you, Louise. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about your new music and give us a little bit of your story and how you made it from New York to Florida and Louisiana. And we certainly wish you the best with the new record. And love for you to have some great success with that.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.